Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel just read from St. Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The Christian church is full of wheat and weeds, or tares. That is the so-called visible church, or the church that we see with our eyes. Wherever the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution, we see the church. Where the church is seen, there are true and false Christians. True Christians are the wheat, false Christians are the tares. They both grow together. The sticky part is when we take it upon ourselves to figure out who is the wheat and who are the tares. If you think it's hard to figure out who it is in the church, consider how hard it is to spot wheat and tares in the world, where Jesus puts his parable in Matthew chapter 13. It would be so much easier on all of us if those of us who are wheat would wear little halos, just like ancient Christian art. Those who are tares could wear some sort of, pitchfork or horns on their head. Maybe something that looks like a weed sticking out. If the world were that way, then we'd know exactly who is saved and not saved. Who's the innie and who's the outie. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Wheat and tares grow together side by side. There's no way to tell who is who. That is the way our Lord would have it. Let both grow together. Nevertheless, when someone does something sinful in the world, we are quick to judge that person a tare. We wouldn't do what he did, or would we? Consider the words of St. Augustine. Today I speak to the tares, but the sheep of the flock are themselves the tares. O unworthy Christians, you that fill the church and at the same time torment it by the wickedness of your lives, correct your ways before the time of the harvest. Be not like those who said, I have sinned, and what harm hath befallen me? It is easy to spot Satan's work in the church militant. When someone sins, when that sin is known to all, and when the sinner refuses to repent of that public sin, then it is the congregation's sad, solemn duty to exclude that person from the congregation. The unrepentant sinner is welcome to hear the word of God. We don't practice shunning, after all. But that unrepentant sinner may not receive the Lord's Supper. The unrepentant sinner does not receive Christian burial. They're outside of the Christian church and in need of repentance. When one is put out of communion with the Christian church, it is done out of love. Knowing that unrepentant sin leads to this conclusion should give all of us pause to consider whether or not we still hold a grudge against someone. If we refuse to forgive someone who apologizes to us, St. Augustine's words, quoted a moment ago, point out that even wheat looks like tares. All of us, 100% of us in the church, are sinners. Take the Israelites. They turned their back on God and made an idol out of gold. Some of the prophets openly defied God's word. Remember Jonah from last Sunday. The New Testament is full of examples. St. Paul was once the chief persecutor of the church. St. Augustine from the early church was once an arch heretic. If God can use people like St. Paul and St. Augustine to preach the gospel, whom else might he use in the bride's time of need? The church and the world look like a mess to the naked eye. Take comfort that both the church and the world are a mess. Why? The text goes on. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The Lord is still the Lord of the church. It is nothing short of a miracle in these last days of sore distress that the church grows and blossoms when and where He wills. It's not given to us as the church to go on a mad crusade to try and find out who are the true or false Christians. Instead, it's given to us to be faithful. We call sin a sin when it is open, manifest sin that threatens the life of the congregation. That is the loving thing to do. And when a sinner repents, we forgive them and welcome them back into our fellowship with open arms. This is also the loving thing to do. It is the way of our Heavenly Father. As it is in the church, so it is in the world. Wheat and tares grow side by side. The hard part is telling them apart. Tares, after all, do lots of wonderful things. Tares give to the poor, serve their neighbor, love one another. Tares, if you can believe it, may even be more generous than the wheat. It's sad to say, though, that none of these things that the tares do amount to a hill of beans when it comes to salvation. Those who do not believe on our Lord Jesus and call Him Savior will be cast into the furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Merely doing good things and being nice to one another does not turn a tare into a wheat. Equally frustrating, if not more so, is the fact that the wheat sowed by the Savior seems not to do or say, sometimes hardly anything, that gives evidence that they are the wheat. It is as if the wheat kind of rests back on its laurels, figuring God loves them anyway, so they might as well have a free pass and do nothing good at all. After all, they're going to get in. So how do we tell the wheat apart from the tares? Very simply put, it is not our job. The landowner says, let them both grow up together. We leave the division of wheat and tares to Christ. He knows those who are His. That is a tough saying. Human reason demands that we must know everything right now. We want to be able to see who is saved and not saved. But eternal judgment belongs to God alone. When the church exercises discipline, it does so because sinful behavior is public, persistent, and most importantly, unrepentant. But we're not in the business of sin-seeking. We don't have a sin police that goes out and hunts these things down. Thank God for that. In the meantime, we bask in the joy of Christ's love. It's much easier to receive forgiveness and eternal life without having to snoop around looking for the tares amid the wheat. Jesus sows us into the rich soil of His church through the preaching of the gospel and the giving out of His sacraments. He will send His angels to gather up the wheat into the safety of His barn, where those stored safely will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Both the wheat and tares grow together in the field. It's foolishness to modern farming. We would rather spray them with chemicals, do everything we can to get it all figured out right away. But for us, this growing up together is comfort. It's comfort believing that the wheat won't be harvested prematurely in order to destroy the weeds. Both go together. Both will go where they belong at the right time. Our Father in heaven receives all glory because the word of Christ dwells in us richly. So come, O you wheat, receive the bread, which is our Lord's body. Come and be fed and grow up in him. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.